From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo instructs minister to anticipate long dry season. Indonesia strengthens partnership with Vanuatu and Pacific countries. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo instructed Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar to coordinate with relevant institutions to anticipate a long dry season forecast to occur this year. According to the Deputy for Press, Media and Information Bureau of the Presidential Secretariat, Bay Mahmudin, President Joko Widodo gave the instruction to Minister Siti Nurbaya in a meeting at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta Friday. In a written statement on Friday, the President reminded that this year's dry season will be longer because the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency has predicted that 2023 will experience a dry season that is longer as compared to the previous years. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi received a visit from Deputy Prime Minister, concurrently Minister of Foreign Affairs, International Cooperation and Foreign Trade of Vanuatu, Jotam Napat, at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Friday. During the meeting, Minister Retno Marsudi highlighted the importance of concrete and beneficial economic cooperation for the people of both countries. She also remarked that Indonesia and Vanuatu are committed to strengthening two-way trade. She emphasized Indonesia's readiness to increase export activities with support from the Vanuatu government. Minister Retno Marsudi also explained that currently, the Indonesian government is preparing to expand trade facilities in the form of exemption from import duty tariffs for Pacific countries, including Vanuatu. Apart from that, in her meeting with Jotam Napat, Minister Retno Marsudi also reaffirmed Indonesia's strong commitment to supporting development in Pacific countries, including Vanuatu.
Over the past 5 years, Indonesia has intensified development and capacity building cooperation with Vanuatu, among others, in the field of fisheries, entrepreneurship, and climate action. And to show our solidarity to the people of Vanuatu, Indonesia already provided humanitarian assistance following the cyclone Judy and Kevin last March. And going forward, we agreed to develop a country-specific cooperation plan to set out priority project areas to strengthen the development cooperation with Vanuatu.
Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi also conveyed Indonesia's commitment to continuously strengthen partnership in the Pacific. She mentioned that as chair of ASEAN, or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, Indonesia proposed cooperation between ASEAN and the Pacific Islands forums, including partnership between secretariats. Indonesia's Environment and Forestry Ministry is optimistic about realizing the target of establishing no more landfills by 2030 to tackle climate change. Director General of Toxic and Hazardous Waste Management at the Ministry, Rosa Vivian Ratnawati, said at the closing ceremony of the National Waste Festival 2023 on Friday that landfill will only be used to dispose of waste which cannot be processed and has no value. She added that the attempt is also aimed at reducing methane gas pollution originating from waste, which can worsen climate change. Previously, the Environment and Forestry Ministry launched the Zero Waste and Zero Emission Program as a guideline for implementing waste management and emission reduction policies. The Indonesian Hajj Organizing Committee prepared food boxes for the second batch of Hajj pilgrims transiting in Medina City, Saudi Arabia. Head of the committee's consumer service, Sufianto, said in Medina on Friday that the government has long anticipated the arrival of the second batch of Indonesian pilgrims who were supposed to arrive in Jeddah, but some of them were coming to Medina. So the committee immediately prepared kitchen that could cater to the needs of the pilgrims as soon as he received information about their arrival. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The improvement in Indonesia's export performance in May 2023 indicated the strength of the national economy amid a global slowdown. Head of the Fiscal Policy Agency of the Finance Ministry, Febrio Kacaribu, said in a statement on Friday, the government has consistently maintained and even improved this good performance by anticipating many risks, whether external or domestic, which could impact Indonesian exports. He noted that in May, the value of national export reached $21.72 billion, reflecting a growth of 0.96% year-on-year and marking an increase after stagnating in April due to short work days during Idul Fitri holiday. The UN Human Rights Office has said that up to 500 people are still missing from a migrant boat that sank off Greece. As quoted by BBC.com, the spokesman of the UN, Jeremy Lawrence, conveyed that large numbers of women and children were among those missing in the horrific tragedy that left 78 people dead. He also said the appalling loss of life underscored the need to bring people smugglers to justice, but it also made clear that search and rescue at sea was a legal and humanitarian imperative. In a joint statement with the International Organization for Migration, the refugee agency said any search and rescue action had to be conducted to prevent loss of life. Saudi astronauts Ali Al-Gharni, Yainah Barnawi, Mariam Erdolos, and Ali Al-Ghamdi have returned to the kingdom Saturday morning after a successful scientific mission at the International Space Station. As reported by ArabNews.com, Al-Ghamdi and Barnawi were the first Arab women to orbit Earth, returned to Earth on May the 31st after an 8-day stay at the space station where they performed 14 research projects on microgravity, three of which were kite experiments with 12,000 school students from 47 locations across the kingdom via satellite. The SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule carrying them, as well as American astronauts Peggy Whitson and Johns Hofner, parachuted down onto the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Panama City, Florida, after a 12-hour return flight and re-entry through the Earth's atmosphere. Prime Minister of Vietnam, Pham Minh Chinh, has said that Vietnam is ready to share its experience of Doi Moi or renewal process, including building and fine-tuning the legal system and judicial reform for Cuba's reference and application in accordance with Cuba's conditions. As reported by VOVworld.vn, receiving Cuban Minister of Justice Oscar Manuel Silvera Martinez in Hanoi on Friday, Prime Minister Chinh conveyed The cooperation between the Ministry of Justice of the two countries must be exemplary, substantive, and effective, living up to the expectation of the two governments. The Cuban minister affirmed that Cuba values the special traditional friendship and multi-faced traditional friendship and multi-faced cooperation with Vietnam. He expressed his hope that Vietnam will strengthen cooperation and support Cuba in law and judicial building, especially in IT application, digital transformation, and human resource training. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from Batam, Riau Islands. The Batam City Riau Islands government held the 25th annual Kenduri Seni Melayu or Malay Art Festival event on June the 14th and 15th. Five neighboring countries participated in this activity, namely Singapore, Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, Myanmar, and India. Head of Batam City Culture and Tourism Office, Ardi Winata, said, "The festival has a series of arts activities, including art performances, folk games, cultural seminars, traditional dance training, training for the Indonesian Qasidah Arts Institute, bazaars, and Malay culinary." The Malay Art Festival was also attended by 24 art galleries in Indonesia, among others, from Sibolga City, Pakanbaru City, Meranti Regency, Lingga Regency, Tanjung Pinang, and Karimun Regency and Medan City. The folk games presented as this year festival were egrang or stilt walking, gasing or tops, seletup and cymbals. Apart from that, there are also Malay culinary bazaars such as lendot, putu dishes to sago noodles from Batam City micro, small and medium enterprises. The next news comes from Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. The Regional Disaster Management Agency for Gunung Kidul Regency, Special Region in Yogyakarta, together with the Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency, installed a tsunami early warning system at Gesing Beach in 2023. Head of the agency Purnomo in Gunung Kidul said Wednesday that the installed tsunami early warning system will be received by the Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency and forwarded to regencies or cities in areas with potential for a tsunami or high waves. Residents on the south coast have also been given training regarding the potential for a tsunami, and evacuation routes have also been prepared on several beaches. The last news is still from Yogyakarta. The Deputy Governor of the Special Region of Yogyakarta, Paku Alam X, on Wednesday inaugurated 5 schools or madrasas in the province to become the 2023 Disaster Safe Education Unit or SPAB. Paku Alam said that one of the visions for disasters management in 2020-2024 is to create a resilient and disaster-responsive Indonesia for sustainable development. Communities have the right and must be empowered to receive education, training, and skills in disaster management. In addition, people also have the right and obligation to participate in making decisions regarding the disaster management activities, especially those related to themselves and their communities. Paku Alam hopes that the 2023 Disaster Safe Education Unit can carry out its functions, roles, and responsibilities with all seriousness. That was news from across Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's 5 super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with the event on June 17, 1939, when Muara Angke Wildlife Sanctuary was designated as a nature reserve by the Dutch East Indies government. Muara Angke Wildlife Sanctuary is a conservation area in the mangrove forest area on the north coast of Jakarta, Indonesia. On June 17, 1939, it was designated as a nature reserve. The initial area of Muara Angke Wildlife Sanctuary was about 15 hectares. Then this area was expanded so that around 1960s, it was recorded as having an area of about 1,000 hectares. With increasing pressure and environmental damage both within and around Muara Angke area, some parts of this nature reserve area were damaged. Thus, after 60 years of holding the status of a nature reserve in 1998, the Indonesian government changed the status of this area to a wildlife reserve, with a total area of 25 hectares to rehabilitate it. Although Muara Angke Wildlife Reserve is the smallest wildlife reserve in Indonesia, its role is quite important. Even one of the bird conservation organizations in the world, BirdLife International, includes Muara Angke area as one of the important areas for birds on the island of Java. Let's move to another event in 1944 when the Republic of Iceland was established. Iceland has been part of Denmark since 1814. At the end of the 19th century, lots of Icelanders wanted independence from Denmark. In 1918, Iceland gained its sovereignty, but the King of Denmark was still asked to become King of Iceland. When Germany occupied Denmark on April 9, 1940, Parliament decided that Iceland belonged to the people of Iceland. However, they still had not declared independence at that time. British troops, and following later the United States, took the initiative to occupy Iceland so it would not be attacked by Germany. Following a constitutional referendum in May 1944, Iceland officially became an independent republic on June 17, 1944. We end today in history with the event on June 17, 1962 about the World Cup final in Chile. The 1962 FIFA World Cup was the 7th edition of the FIFA World Cup. The World Cup round was held in Chile on May 30 until it ended at the climax of the final event on June 17, 1962. This tournament was won by Brazil after winning the final match over Czechoslovakia with a score of 3-1, which took place at the National Stadium Santiago de Chile. Meanwhile, Chile as the host won third place after winning 1-0 over Yugoslavia at the same stadium. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Love today, love today, love today. I said everybody.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia welcomes TikTok's investment. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Panjaitan, said he welcomes TikTok's investment in Indonesia. Speaking at the TikTok Southeast Asia Impact Forum in Jakarta on June the 15th, he said Indonesia was still on target to achieve developed country status in 2035. Quoting the press release of the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs and Investment on June the 15th, Minister Luhut said Indonesia's digital economic growth in 2022 is expected to reach $77 billion. At the moment, Indonesia's economic resilience is considered one of the best among G20 member countries amidst the current global economic slowdown. Luhut Panjaitan explained that Indonesia's economic resilience is achieved through five pillars, namely industrialization, digitalization, interconnection, economic distribution, and decarbonization. The minister also informed TikTok CEO that Indonesia is prioritizing digitalization to increase efficiency. The minister then explained a number of digitalization programs developed by the government, namely e-catalog that make government spending more efficient and transparent, Interministerial Institutional Mineral and Coal Information Systems, or those that improve the quality of mining data. There are also the bulk cooking oil management and monitoring system, which increases the efficiency of cooking oil distribution, national logistic ecosystem, which improves port efficiency and connectivity, as well as one single submission as an effort to accelerate the investment process. On the occasion, he also conveyed Indonesia's commitment to achieving net zero emissions by accelerating decarbonization. Coordinating Minister Luhut Panjaitan has invited TikTok to do business in Indonesia, but he hopes not to get into politics. During this activity, the CEO of TikTok, Sau Chu, said that the video sharing platform would help develop Indonesian micro, small, and medium enterprises through a program that includes digital skills training project in Indonesia. To the media, Coordinating Minister Luhut Panjaitan had expressed his hope that TikTok content creators would not use their accounts for identity politics, which would create conflict. That was My Indonesia Today.
Aku selalu
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder highlights Kabut Pelangi Waterfall in East Java. Lumajang is one of the tourism destinations in East Java, which offers some natural tourism options. There are lots of interesting waterfalls for tourists. One of the famous waterfalls due to its beauty is Kabut Pelangi Waterfall. It is located in Pronojiwo Village, Pronojiwo Subdistrict, Lumajang, East Java. It is called Kabut Pelangi because the condition around the area is often foggy, and if you arrive at this tourism spot at the right time, you can see a rainbow at the bottom of the falling water caused by the refraction of water and sunlight. Kabut Pelangi Waterfall is managed by Perum Perhutani Malang Forest Management Unit, and it is still included in the Bromo Tengger Semeru National Park area because its location is still at the downhill of Mount Semeru. Listener, the Lumajang Kabut Pelangi Waterfall has a height of approximately 100 meters and it is located on a plain with an altitude of about 1,229 meters above sea level. This makes the waterfall tourism attraction look very beautiful, and before you arrive at the location of Kabut Pelangi Waterfall, you will enjoy seeing the waterfall. This waterfall has almost the same characteristics, but it is shorter. From the Anak Kabut Pelangi Waterfall to the Kabut Pelangi Waterfall location, you have to fight your way through the flowing river water, which originates from the waterfall, and it takes about 15 minutes. The river flow with towering cliffs is the main attraction, and you can also see monkeys playing and hanging from trees. Listener, to go to Kangi Waterfall area, you can reach it by motor vehicles. After arriving at the parking lot, visitors still have to continue the journey by trekking as far as 1.5 kilometers by passing up and down hilly terrain and steep and rocky tracks. As a popular tourism attraction, the facilities at this tourism spot are quite complete. Besides, there is also a camping area for those of you who want to set up a tent around the waterfall. In this tourism spot, there is also a horse that you can ride to return to the parking lot, so you are not exhausted to walk again after enjoying the beauty of the Kabut Pelangi Waterfall. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder read by Ahmad Faisal.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, in Indonesia, many jazz festivals with natural landscapes are held and involve many well-known domestic and foreign musicians, such as Mount Ijen Jazz in Banyuwangi, East Java, Jazz Above the Clouds in Dieng, to Kanadi Jazz in Prambanan, Central Java. One of the famous jazz festivals with natural nuances is Senggigi Sunset Jazz, with a panoramic beach background on Lombok Island, West Nusa Tenggara Province. The combination of the beauty of the beach and the melodiousness of jazz music in Senggigi will be present at an event titled Senggigi Sunset Jazz. It is a music festival where jazz musicians will perform in the tourist area of Kerandangan Senggigi Beach, Lombok Island. It is planned that the event will be held on August 20, 2023. Senggigi Sunset Jazz in August 2023 will be the fifth time this music event has been held. In previous events, Senggigi Sunset Jazz proved successful in attracting tens of thousands of spectators. What makes Senggigi Sunset Jazz different from other jazz festivals is the location of the festival. At Senggigi Sunset Jazz, the audience will be able to enjoy the beauty of the beach in the evening when the sun goes down and the melodious strains of jazz music at the same time. This is because the event was designed with the concept of a beach jazz stage. This year, Senggigi Sunset Jazz is designated as one of the archipelago's events, along with Topat Pujawali Lingsar War. A number of big names from well-known Indonesian artists are said to be performing in the show, such as Grup Kahitna, Melly Goeslaw, Nadine Hamizah, Pradikta Wicaksono, Namone Sare, and many more. Just like at other archipelago events, Senggigi Sunset Jazz is expected to be able to encourage the revival of the world of tourism in a new order of life. And subsequently, as a promotion of tourism potential and investors coming to West Lombok. This event also carries the concept of sustainability, because it will not only present a jazz music concert, but there will be bazaars and culinary from small and medium enterprises, as well as beach cleanup events. Well, listener, that was miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world. We'll be right back.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations, Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song version entitled Nyaman Tak Cukup, or in English means Comfort Is Not Enough, by Raisa, and accompanied by keroncong Gempo Gendis. The song was composed by Dewi Lestari, which was released on March 23, 2023, and popularized by Raisa. The song Nyaman Tak Cukup tells about lovers who want a challenge in their love relationship, but it can be realized, though the relationship feels comfortable. The woman feels that her relationship has lost passion, interest, and taste. Comfort is not enough to live a relationship. Well, listener, here we go. Raisa with the song Nyaman Tak Cukup, accompanied by keroncong Gempo Gendis. Enjoy!
Semakin lama semakin terasa jarak dan sikapmu yang seperlunya. Kita bicara dan kita masih sama, saling sayang dan yang paling nyaman. Tapi katamu itulah masalahnya. Oh,
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.